Grace and peace to all of you who gather today for this Sunday morning's worship. Today is the second Sunday after Epiphany. Now, I'm going to let you in on something personal here today, and that is I spent many years as a young person while my father was the minister, and I learned a lot of things from my father, a lot of good things in the ministry, a couple of which I will share in the sermon today. But one thing I never liked what my father would do on a Sunday like today, or often in some of the smaller churches that he pastored, he would look around and say, well, there are people missing today, as if there was some kind of an apology that needed to be made. And over time, I thought, you know, that's not the way I'd like to do it. What I would like to say is, welcome, and we are glad you are here this morning. No one is ever required to have perfect attendance. Now, if you're paying your pastor a full-time salary, then you expect a certain attendance level out of me, and I understand that, along with some other people that you would expect to be here. But what I do want to say, on a Sunday like today, it is a very special thing that you've made the effort even to get out of bed, get in your car, and if you don't have a garage, to scrape all the stuff out and brave the roads. I'll tell you this, it was quite an adventure that Deanne and I had today traveling on I-69, but when we arrived, it feels like we're home, and I trust that that's the way it will be for all of us today as we join in worship, and that grace and peace that we offer is in the name of Jesus the Christ. And I'd also like to welcome our online gathering, which might be a little larger today, so welcome to all of you as we join the worship today. I am Pastor Mark McCormick. And this service does originate from the sanctuary of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. And I am joined, as usual, by our worship team, our production engineer, our special musicians, and they are special because I guess I'm part of them. But it is the Mayflower Chancel Choir that has prepared music as usual today. Our liturgist is Don Ketchison, and we are going to worship. Deanne, my wife, comes to make a very special announcement at this time.
Good morning. Ever since 2018, the women of Mayflower Church have been gathering on Wednesday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the Friendship Center to study the Bible together. After we enjoyed our annual Christmas luncheon last month and took a break for the holidays, it's time to start up again for 2024. So in order to understand the New Testament, we began studying the women of the Old Testament, like Sarah and Hagar and Rebecca and Rachel and Leah, and some of the lesser-known women like Dinah and Tamar. Did you know that there are 5 Old Testament women who are listed in the genealogy of Jesus? 5 unlikely women, in fact. Tamar was one of those women, a Canaanite, who took matters into her own hands after her husband died and found a way to carry on the family line. It's a fascinating story to dig into the history of these women. Now, this year, we have been studying the greatest sermon ever written. That is the Sermon on the Mount given by Jesus in the book of Matthew. As we call ourselves Christian, named after our leader, Jesus Christ, it's important for us to know exactly what Jesus taught. Jesus radically changed the narrative from an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth into love your neighbor as yourself. So that's what we're studying, and we'll continue with that. Wednesday morning is a time for the women of this church to read, to dig into Scripture, to learn, to question, to share, to deepen our relationship with God, and to get closer to each other. So I'm inviting all of you women to join us. You may be a Bible expert, or you may know next to nothing about the Bible. It's okay. It doesn't matter. It will deepen your faith and strengthen your relationship with God. And all the wonderful women of Mayflower will welcome you and love having you to come and join us. So bring a friend. It's open to all. Doesn't have to be a member of this church. Weather permitting, I'll look forward to seeing you this Wednesday at 10:30 in the Friendship Center. And by the way, the coffee pot will be on, and a yummy treat made by Jen Hall will be waiting for you.
Well, with a yummy treat, I guess I'll be there too, but I've found out that doesn't work that way. Ruth, I think it's your turn. Make an announcement. She's got a little ways to come, so she'll follow up with another very important announcement.
Thanks for not giving me warning.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's so good to see all of you that are here, and those that are watching on video, welcome. We do appreciate the effort that you made to come out in this bitter cold and worship. My purpose in being up here is to let all of you know that we will not be meeting this afternoon after our service for the budget meeting and review of bylaws, but we hope to have that next week. We had so many people call in and say they couldn't make it today and they really are interested in the budget and have questions about positions in the church and changes in the bylaws. So in the interest of including everybody, we will not have our meeting today.
Thank you, Ruth. The bulletin is chock full of everything else that you might need to know, and if not, then just contact someone today or give us a call during the week. Today's theme is Reasons for Optimism. Let us now worship God.
Thank you. Good morning, Mayflower.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship on this coldest day of the winter so far. Thanks for braving it. The first few weeks of winter, as well as much of the fall, have spoiled us a bit with warmer than average temperatures and far less snowfall than usual. Climatologists have told us that this pattern is becoming more normal for our region. Regardless, what we do in worship has nothing to do with the weather. Although we appreciate the comfort of this sanctuary, our real purpose is to listen for, recognize, receive, and then share the voice from God, as did the young boy Samuel. In Samuel's day, we are told that the word of the Lord was rare and visions were not widespread. While that may also be true in our culture, let it not be so today as we continue in worship. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Eternal God and our loving Lord, we have braved the weather and have driven a little more cautiously on our way to church. As we gather, we know that your presence and the presence of like-minded believers will help us to recognize and then listen for the voice of the Lord. We confess, O God, that we often measure things by circumstances only, which must lead us to conclusions that the word of the Lord is rare and that visions are not widespread. Help us to change that narrative by trusting and believing that God's voice will be heard, God's vision will be cast, and that our determination to respond to the Lord will not be rare, but a regular part of our gatherings and our lives. Bless now the music we sing and hear. the scriptures spoken and heard, the prayers for our world and each other, the fellowship with one another, and the words spoken from the pulpit, which will help us know that God's voice is not absent or rare. This we pray in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
January is not typically a month of strong giving in many churches, but it is at Mayflower, however. So, keep up the good work. As always, we do not pass offering plates here in the morning worship. If you have an offering, a pledge, or anything that you'd like to deposit, we have receptacles at either entrance to the sanctuary. In the meantime, giving is a holy act of worship, and it includes the giving of our time, our talents, our treasures, and indeed our very selves. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Eternal God and our gracious Lord, inclement weather can be hard on all of us. It's hard on our vehicles, and it can be hard on our schedules. But we pray, Lord, that you would help us to be thankful for the ability even to get out of bed and to do what was necessary to be here in church, or for those that are not here, for those that are here in spirit or watching online. But Lord, we also have a deep sense, or should have an awareness, of people who woke up this morning on the streets, perhaps cold, lonely, forgotten, afraid. We pray that you would keep us mindful of those who bear a much larger burden in cold weather or inclement weather. We thank you for the support that is offered by some of the institutions, caring institutions around Lansing that we support. May we be aware, Lord, of our blessings and the remembrance that those of us who have much are required to do much. We pray for the many who have suffered, millions in this country during this release of the polar vortex. And we pray that you would offer protection and safety for those who are in danger, or for those who are out in rescue, or for those who are taking care of downed electrical lines, or providing heat for people whose furnaces are out. All of these things, Lord, in a very practical way, we ask that you would bring to our minds as we sit in a comfortable sanctuary with heat and light. Help us in our praying that we would never forsake the needs of the world. We pray for all of the strife and warfare and rumors of war, and for refugees who gather at different borders around the world. Give us that sense of compassion even as we try to figure out the needs and how we can meet them. Lord, it seems overwhelming. Give us the strength and the vision, which is sometimes not widespread, to know that you can help us change lives and change the world. In all of this, Lord, we never forget the needs that are represented within our beloved community, some of whom are on our hearts and upon our lips, first names that come to our mind we mention now. And I would remember Darlene and Mary's mother and many others, thanking you for the opportunity to pray together as your beloved community, as we have been taught, like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from the Old Testament, book of 1 Samuel, chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. We are living in a day in which the influence of the church is significantly diminished. Does that mean that God has failed? Does it mean that God does not speak as often as before? Hear now these words. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not gone out yet. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of the Lord was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went again to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength, our Redeemer, and our rock. Amen. Many of you heard this before, and you'll just have to excuse me if you hear it again, but on a day like today, I cannot help but remember the story of a farmer who was a very an active and dedicated member of a local church out in the country. And one day there was a big blizzard, bigger than the one that came to Michigan in these last few days, and it didn't look like anyone was going to make it to church. But the pastor of the church was well-equipped. He had a four-wheel drive truck, and he put chains on it, and he made it in, and he got in there. No one else was there, but as he listened in the cold, brisk morning, he heard the sound of a tractor, an old John Deere, and he looked, and there was that one farmer, dedicated as he was, heading for church, and the farmer finally rolled in, and they waited about 10 minutes, and no one else came. And again, you probably know what's coming here, but the pastor looked at the farmer, and he said, it's just you and me, looks like, today. He said, "Do you think we ought to have church?" And the farmer says, "Well, I think so." He says, "I'm here, and I came for church." And so they decided to go ahead with it. When it was all done, the minister decided to ask the farmer how he thought it went. And he said, "Well, it went just fine, Pastor, but," he said, "I have a little advice for you." He said, when the cows come in to eat, he said, "I feed them, but," he said, "if only one cow comes, I don't give him the whole load." So So with that, I'll give you what I've got this morning. How about that? These days, if you know someone who hears voices, you might wonder about their sanity or their mental state. My first and most natural instinct, admittedly, is to be skeptical and pessimistic about somebody that hears voices. If I hear an audible voice in an otherwise empty room, I might review the amount of caffeine I had, check my pill box, join a yoga class, or see a psychiatrist. And in this age of psychological understanding, and that's a good thing, there is a healthy skepticism of how one hears, recognizes, and interprets voices. My radar screen goes up when someone says, and this has happened in my ministry in the past, "God told me to tell you this." Immediately, it puts me a little bit on my back heels. But as we prayed this morning, we are gathered for worship in large part to recognize, identify, and respond to the voice of God. As a pastor and a preacher of the gospel, I would be the first to acknowledge that God still speaks, although the intent of this sermon is to help us clarify that issue and ask probing questions. Having said that, I would be quick to believe people in this church that might testify to the reality of hearing an audible voice interpreted as the voice of God. And as is the case this morning, the scriptures are replete with experiences among God's people that are not typically replicated in our own journeys of faith. So, here's some questions. How does God speak? Especially if we don't hear an audible voice. When does God speak? Is it rare? Is God's voice, or can it be, audible? And if so or if not, what are the ways, other ways in which God speaks? Does God speak as often and as clearly now as God has done in the past? Are there times when God intentionally is silent? When was the last time you heard the voice of God? And if you heard it, what did God say? The writer in this narrative tells us that the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and visions were not widespread. Given the diminishing influence of the church in modern-day Western culture and the ever-increasing number of people who identify as nones, that's N-O-N-E-S, with no particular interest in or connection to religion or the church, that same observation, that is the rarity of the word of the Lord, might be offered by us. And yet, while we should never shy away from questions of doubt and skepticism, I do believe there are reasons for optimism. I believe that God speaks to me, God speaks to you, and God speaks to us as a group, as a beloved community, and even in larger communities. How so? I first heard the story of Samuel in Sunday school as a very young child. In fact, it was a Sunday school teacher's dream. It is a short story, quite dramatic, suspenseful, and it is one of the few narratives in all the Bible where a child plays the starring role. It was and is used to teach and encourage young folks like I once was to learn the obvious lessons which emanate from this passage of Scripture. Number one, go to church. All of these things that happen in temple life, or what we would simply call the church. Obey your elders. Samuel did as Eli instructed, and by the way, it is thought that at this point in time, Samuel would have been about 12 years old. And then keep your heart open before God, as Samuel invited God to speak to him. And something my mother always encouraged me to do, bless her soul, on Friday was the second anniversary of her death, and I gave her a lot of thought. Maybe even tried to talk to her. In the larger picture of the setting of this text, the story of Samuel does not begin with the voice of God. nor with the elder Eli's training and nurture of the young lad who spent all of his time, or at least most of his time, in the temple. Samuel was and is a major new Old Testament figure, and he arrives during a time when tribal city-states with clan leadership devolved into something less than God's ideal for God's chosen people. In the book of Judges, in roughly the same time period, we are told that everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Everyone did their own thing. The reason things were so out of control, we are told, is because there was no king in Israel. These were the times of Judges, if you're in any way familiar with the evolution of the Old Testament. As a result, religious lethargy prevailed. The rituals continued, but were often boring, meaningless, and sometimes thought to be hypocritical, and did not make a significant impact upon God's people. Does that sound familiar? Because my life revolved around church in my childhood, something akin to Samuel's residence in the temple. In fact, there were two places my dad pastored that the houses were attached to the church. I wouldn't go back to that for anything except one church had a ping pong table at a time. I loved to play ping pong, so that was a good thing. But it was a little embarrassing with the school right across the street, and the classroom, my sixth grade classroom, used to look right over at the house and the church. And later I thought, that must look funny to people. But I don't think the idea of listening for the actual voice of God resonated with me any more than it did for Samuel, who did not initially recognize the voice that he had heard. For the most part, coming back to my own personal experience, I was a good PK. You know what a PK is, right? There you go. And I was an active participant as a child, although I hated the Wednesday night program because I did a lot of crafts, and I was never any good at that, and I got tired of popsicle sticks and Elmer's glue. And I never got very too many stickers on my scarf. I was too busy doing other things. My mom was not real happy with me, but I was an active participant and a compliant son. And later, when I was a teenager, I was active in the youth group. When, as a preacher's kid, I was not as compliant when I was a teenager. But I remembered my youth director. I've told you this before, but not so long ago, I looked him up. Lives in Colon, Michigan. He's in his late 70s now, maybe early 80s. And I hadn't talked to him in decades, and I called him on the phone. He was surprised to hear from me. We talked for about an hour, and I expressed to him my appreciation for his influence in his life. And I'll never forget when he and his wife took three vehicles, one of which was driven by me at 17 years old. We went out to Colorado, and we had a great time. I even drove my car at 17 to the top of Pikes Peak when it was all an unpaved road. Never forget that. And his tolerance for a ragtag group, which included a sometimes cocky preacher's kid, well, the story goes on. And as I stated earlier, while I have never heard an audible voice that I have identified as God's voice, looking back, I can see a broader picture of how God speaks and how God spoke to me. I think the same could be said for many of you. Now, I want to give my family and my earliest church tradition credit for nurturing an awareness and the reality of God in my life. My mother modeled a unique love for people that represented her love for Christ. And I admired her ability to reach out to the most unlikely of people. One time we were in downtown Chicago, where my dad loved to be, and there were homeless beggars and people that had drunk too much wine, and my mother never passed one without stopping and talking and paying attention. She paid attention to the homeless, the voiceless, the handicapped, neighbors who had difficulties or didn't even like to come to church. And sometimes they came to church because of my mom, and ones who were excluded. She had a special affinity for celebrities whose early life included sorrow and trauma, two of which were mentioned at her funeral about 2 years ago. You know who those two people were that she loved and prayed for every day? Dennis Rodman, remember him? And Elton John, you know him. Likewise, my father had a unique ability to get the most unlikely people interested in the Bible.
and he was able to easily persuade people who had rarely attended church to walk through the doors of the churches where he pastored, and that resulted in some pretty interesting experiences. One time, it's not in my notes, folks, but I remember that he had ministered to some maybe early 20-somethings that were having terrible times in their life, and he invited them to church, and they said, well, we can't come on Sunday morning, so we'll come on Sunday night. It was a hot day, and they walked right down the center aisle and sat in the front seat, and they had bikinis on. I'll never forget that. Not simply because they had bikinis on, but because of the reaction of people in church that didn't exactly know what to do, even as souls that were hungry for God wandered into church just upon invitation. I hate to ask this question, but I wonder what we would do. I encountered many people in the churches where my dad served who I would say simply love the Lord in their own way. But as is the case for many of us, it was often the outside voices that helped clarify for me and perhaps for you and recognize the voice of God. Eli was a priest whose whole life revolved around temple life, but Samuel came from a line of prophets. He was not a priest. He was on the outside. And there's quite a story, as you know, when his mother Hannah was barren and then God gave her a child, and Samuel went on to speak truth even to Eli, whose sons were very devious. You can read that in the previous chapter. But he came a prophet, and like all prophets, was an outside voice. The prophets were not the ones that had lengthy resumes or who dazzled people with flowery speech, and they usually didn't have charismatic personalities. So I remember some of the ones who made tremendous impact on me, even though they were not in the church tradition where I grew up. My public school kindergarten teacher invited children into her home and shared a simple way to understand the gospel. There was a bicycle repairman who fixed my bicycle for free, very much aware of my father's financial challenges. A person who sold me bazooka bubblegum at the corner store who always smiled. My high school English teacher, who was one of the few people in my life who had intuition about the trouble I was having at home. The Presbyterian minister who introduced me to mainline church life, which was a tradition that my church viewed quite skeptically. My theology professor at Spring Arbor, who challenged me with a different way to look at the scriptures. And another who challenged some of the long-held conventional teachings of the church and who taught me to ask difficult questions. And then, lest I leave her out, a beautiful widow who put aside her straight arrow ways, rolled the dice, and reached out to an adventure-loving ex-preacher tour guide with a love I had never and have never known before. And then a congregational church on West Mount Hope Avenue in Lansing that took a chance on that former tour guide with a questionable resume and then decided to call me as their pastor. I may never hear an audible voice of God on this side of eternity, but I have learned more about how I identify the voice of God. And I'm sure that is true with each of you. As you think about it, you have compiled long lists of those who, looking back, have become individuals well beyond family and church who have helped you identify the voice of God. God called Samuel to be a prophet. So, are there only a few who are called? No. God calls all of us. Everyone God calls is a prophet, which simply means that what we hear from God is what we share with others, sometimes in words, but mostly in actions. It might be to someone overseas who has never heard about the love of Christ, such as my sister and brother-in-law. It might be your next-door neighbor who needs their driveway shoveled this afternoon. It might be one of the widows of our church, or the willingness to prepare after-church food when only a few are going to be there today. Maybe it would be to directly imitate our Lord, who risked everything to speak truth to power, because of his love for the ones most dearly cared for by God, the diseased, the disfigured, the lonely, the powerless, the hungry, and the thirsty, the forgotten, and the despised minorities who have diminished voting power, and those whose voices are almost always unheard. Finally, there is a confusion that exists in which there's often an elevated status given to some who are called into quote-unquote full-time Christian service. We all have been called into full-time Christian service, never measured in hours spent, but rather 24-hour faithfulness to our families at home, our colleagues at work, while we are on the road, while we visit and share with our neighbors, in our church, in the voting booth, or in the halls of power. And sometimes that call changes, as it has for me and perhaps most of you. Tomorrow is Dr. King's birthday, along with other remembrances. And I want to tell you that my life has been deeply affected mostly by the sermons that he preached. And one of the treasured books that I will always keep is Knock at Midnight. And those were the sermons that Dr. King preached before he was 25 years old. But his legacy we honor tomorrow. And he was called by God and answered the call and became a faithful local pastor in Montgomery, Alabama. He later responded to another call of God through circumstances which he could not have anticipated, nor did he seek. And that was the mantle of leadership in a struggle for civil rights, which was laid on him by others who, for him, represented the voice and word of the Lord. We all have benefited from the conscience he instilled in a nation and even in our churches, and not just for black people. Responding to God's call did not make Dr. King a perfect person, and it does make us perfect either. Neither does it make us holy, but it makes us useful, it makes us servants, and it identifies us as followers of Christ. God is speaking, God is calling. Will you continue to respond, and will I? I'm optimistic that we shall. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you, choir. They back me up pretty good, don't they? Thank you, Deanne and Barb, for your leadership. And Dawn, thanks for braving it and coming out here and doing such a great job as a liturgist. Thank you, Marcia, for just, where's Marcia? Oh, she's back there. She's got food prepared, and she probably prepared for 70. So we got a lot of food to eat, folks. Looking forward to that. But we can relax. We'll have the annual meeting or the budget meeting next week, and there'll be more opportunity for you and others to peruse that. And as we grow as a church, there are things that you're interested in and have shown that. So we'll talk about that next week, answer questions, and just explain what we can. In the meantime, it's just good to be here today, but be careful on your way home and enjoy the rich time of fellowship and the yummies. Amen.